This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 14, 2024, the Vigil Mass of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is amazing. I mean, for us to embrace it in all its totality, it's amazing to us, but there are many others who don't think too much of the dogma, and they even marvel at it. They marvel that we can be attentive to such things. It is something that we need to pay close attention to because it is indeed a marvel, because it is the first time that a human being has been assumed into heaven, body and soul, after their death, and it's a foreshadow of our resurrection. It is a marvel. During any funeral mass or any mass for the dead around traditional places, you hear the singing or the saying of the Dies Irae, this glorious hymn from ancient days that speaks of, they don't say it anymore because, oh, it's so dark and it's a, well, somebody has died, okay? So, you know, there's a sense of loss there. There is a sense of sorrow and mourning. But the first few verses of the Dies Irae, particularly verses 2 and 3, they speak about the resurrection of the body. And in the fourth stanza of the Dies Irae, it says, death and nature will marvel when the creature rises again to respond to the judge. That is a literal translation of the Latin. Usually in English versions, you hear these churchy, very poetic words, which are very beautiful, and they say the same thing. But that's a direct translation. Death and nature will marvel when the creature rises again and responds to the judge. This is the resurrection. It is going to happen for each and every one of us, and it has happened for the Blessed Virgin Mary and her alone. She rose in her body and soul in response to the judge, and death and nature marvel. Death and nature are personified. They can't believe what they're seeing. Because why? Because it's never happened before. It never happened before. And we have this picture of the Blessed Mary, as I said, she's responding to her judge. She's being rewarded. She is being rewarded for her faithfulness. She is being rewarded for her being the mother of sorrows throughout her whole life. In the gospel this evening, you hear read that, oh, blessed is the womb that bore you. Our Lord responds, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You always point out, our Lord is not in any way, shape, or form denigrating the honor that the Blessed Virgin Mary has in being his mother, but he says that plays a very ancillary role. She is rewarded because of her faithfulness. She is being rewarded for the goodness that she did to our Lord in his earthly ministry and in giving her complete life over to the will of God in her fiat. This is for what she is being rewarded. This is where it starts to get applicable to us. She has received her reward through the Assumption. We look forward to it. And this is a lesson in not being presumptuous. Our Lord says, her title as my mother. It really has nothing to do with it. It is the fact that she has kept the word of God in her heart, and she's manifested in her life. If the title of Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ is not what gets her rewarded, but what she does for him, how much more us? Can we ever claim or presume on a title? I'm a Catholic. I was baptized. I'm confirmed. Yeah. So titles. There are a lot of people that I know, a lot, have been baptized and confirmed, and they live like godless heathens. Some of them have been baptized and confirmed, and they live worse than godless heathens. So the title being baptized or being a Catholic means absolutely nothing. It is the question as to how faithful have we been to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Blessed Mother was faithful. She was rewarded. She is the first fruits of resurrection. Our Lord is the first fruits of the one who was resurrected. She is the first fruits of one who is raised body and soul by our Lord Jesus Christ. If the title of Mother was no use to her, again, how can titles be of any use to us? This is a matter of merit and reward. Merit and reward. Our Blessed Mother, she merited what she received. No creature has ever given herself more fully to our Lord, and she is rewarded for it in the Assumption. If we do not presume on titles and things in this world, and we are just faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, then we too will be merited and rewarded in our being raised again from the dead. That was what the second reading was all about today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We can marvel at this, that Our Lady has already undergone what everybody else who's ever died on the face of this planet is waiting for. She was blessed. She was rewarded. We marvel at the Assumption. Those of us, again, who embrace it, we marvel for its excellency. For those who don't, they marvel because they don't get it, can't understand that. That line in the Dies Irae, death and nature will marvel. The Assumption was the first time that a miracle of God's divine providence took place in this world. That someone who had died and been buried was taken up into heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the second person to the Trinity, so when he ascended into heaven, he just went home. That's not a place for the creature from this sin, curse, and fallen world. It is a place that was given in honor of our Blessed Mother for all that she did. It's the first time it happened, and it was just a preview for death to look at this, because that is our last enemy, is death. It doesn't matter how good we live in this world. We are all going to suffer physical death. And when we do so, we who look at the example of our Blessed Virgin, it should be very, very encouraged and, I dare say, excited about death. This is the St. Augustine talks about losing the fear of death. Everybody in our human nature, we can't help but to look at death with trepidation. But at the end of the day, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us this confidence where we don't face it as those who have no hope. We have to understand that in the resurrection of the physical body, it's not just a spiritual thing, it's a physical body. The same body that cooperated with the soul for either good or bad in this world is going to be rewarded for whether it did good or bad. Not just the spirit, but the body in of itself. Because when our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Trinity, created us, we were both body and soul, and he looked and said, that is very good. That is a condition that's very good. When our souls are separated from our body, it's not very good. It is an unnatural state for us. The greatest saints that you can think of in heaven are still separated from their bodies in this world. And that separation is an unnatural state. It is not a happy state. They have the beatific vision, but they are not in the perfection of their initial creation. The only one who is the Blessed Virgin Mary through her Assumption. So this is, again, the application. The Blessed Virgin Mary has received her reward. What about us? This is where that second part of that line in the stanza of the Dies Irae says, when the creature rises again to respond to the judge, what side of the house are we going to be on? What side of the response are we going to hear? This is that blessed are those who have heard the word of God and kept it. The resurrection is a dogma of hope beyond measure. The resurrection is a dogma of hope. The final judgment is a dogma of fear. It really is. We should all know we're all going to be resurrected in the body, whether if we've been good or bad, but that judgment should strike a chord with us. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You fear the Lord, the resurrection, then you have a very good chance of living a life down here that is going to be more or less in conformity with His will. Those who do not know of the resurrection or do not fear God, again, that is going to be on them when it comes to the reward of whether it is good or bad when we look at the resurrection of the body. We should desire the resurrection because, you know, it's a bummer. We all got to think we're all going to die. Someday, we're all going to die. But if you believe in the resurrection, there's hope. There's hope. We who embrace and see the example of, it's not just conjecture for us. Again, it's not conjecture. We hear the dogma of the resurrection, the dogma of the final judgment, but to have a historical event that proves in the assumption, then it becomes a very, very hopeful thing for us. It's an expectation of glory. If the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was a creature, was assumed body and soul into heaven, we have that same opportunity placed before us. It's whether we, again, embrace it or not. This whole concept is woven into the liturgy. Our liturgical life, the resurrection is woven into it. The church calendar, the biggie, Easter, our Lord's resurrection of the dead, and the assumption that that resurrection is going to be applied to His creatures also. I've proven it. No one can, you know, kind of interesting, people that deny the resurrection. Okay, where's her body? Where's her grave? Because do you think for one moment, just one moment, that if the Blessed Virgin Mary had died, was buried somewhere, that people wouldn't know about it? I mean, think about it. It's ridiculous to even conceive. We've got these most opulent cathedrals and basilicas built over air that have to do with so much less than, like, the Blessed Virgin Mary's grave. I mean, it is. It defies logic. Nobody claims, not one person ever on the face of, we know where Blessed Virgin Mary's, or what's even more, well, nobody cared. Well, really? Really? I mean, how many hundreds of thousands, literally millions of lives have been snuffed out because of fights over this piece of land where something holy went on, or that piece of land where something holy went on? And Jesus' mother, her grave, well, somebody just forgot about where they buried Jesus' mom. I think not. It's ridiculous. These things are woven into our liturgical calendar. They're woven into Mass where we hear about the resurrection, and we repeatedly make mention, traditionally, of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why? Because she's an example for us, an encouraging, hopeful example. This is what she is, especially the Masses for the dead. You think about the Masses for the dead and the ferial Masses that we do for the souls that are departed. We hear the Dies Irae every single time. Traditionally, you don't. It's not an option. You say the Dies Irae or you sing the Dies Irae because it speaks of hope. The whole funeral Mass speaks of hope. Traditionally, we wear black because it is a very sad and very solemn thing. That's got to be a dose of reality. We wear black. This is a sad day. But one of the first things that happens, depending on how the funeral is set up, is there's the blessing of the body. The body's blessed. It's at the very beginning of the Mass. If we bring the body in from the back of the church and then it comes up here, generally speaking, given our situation, it's already up here. So the blessing of the body comes after Mass, but there's still the blessing of the body. I don't know how many times I've ever heard priests and ministers get up and say, that's not Uncle Bob in the casket. Yes, it is. Yeah, it most definitely is Uncle Bob. And it's the Uncle Bob that's going to raise again from the dead. That very body that's in that casket is going to be raised from the dead. That's why we bless it. We bless that. We go to the graveyard. We bless the grave. Or if it's cremains, we bless the niche in which they'll be placed. It gives these rays of light of the resurrection, even in the darkness that is a funeral mass. The resurrection is interwoven into all these things. And they're very noticeable when you compare them with the black and the sorrow of a funeral mass. They are a stark contrast of our hope. This is a glory for us. It lends a dignity to death. Because there is dignity in death. This is why we don't misuse the remains, whether they be cremains or the remains of people. That's why we just don't stick them anywhere. That's why it is not proper to have cremains and give a little locket with some of the ashes to this person and some of the ashes to that person. It is no different than if you get a body and cut the arm off and give it to one person, cut a leg off and they say, oh, that's repugnant. Why is it less repugnant to take a little bit of the ashes from a body and put them in one place and put some others in the other or throw them all around someplace? Oh, he always wanted to be sprinkled over this or sprinkled that. We don't do that. We don't do that because there is a dignity of the body that died because it cooperated with the soul, whether it be for good or bad. We want to honor it and dignify it. This is who we are. And one of the prime reasons we do it is the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Wouldn't want anybody desecrating her body before she was raised again. Now, would we? Not that God couldn't have fixed it, but nonetheless. So there's a dignity to death. It mitigates our grief to know that indeed, particularly if it was a person of faith, there's not that conjecture. Can I pray for this person? He never went to church. Yes, it's your duty. Pray for them, especially as a family member. It's an obligation to pray for them. Why? Because we hope beyond hope. This is what this is all about. The Assumption is about hope. So it is the way we live our life while we're here as to whether or not we're going to be rewarded for good or for evil. Unfortunately, the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 wasn't read, and it encapsulates everything I've said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we didn't have some kind of proof, who says it's not vain if we do what our Lord wants? But at the end of the day, we do have proof. And not just the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but I would say even more so in the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that our labors for the Lord are not in vain. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.